那么本师释迦牟尼佛，那么本师释迦牟尼佛，那么本师释迦牟尼佛，那么观世音菩萨，那么观世音菩萨，那么观世音菩萨，那么阿弥陀佛，那么阿弥陀佛，那么阿弥陀佛，那么弥勒佛。那么弥勒佛，那么弥勒佛，那么普贤菩萨，那么普贤菩萨，那么普贤菩萨，那么地藏王菩萨，那么地藏王菩萨，那么地藏王菩萨，那么佛菩萨，那么佛菩萨，那么佛菩萨。Arahaṃ sammā sambuddho bhagavā Buddhaṃ bhagavantaṃ abhivādemi Svaggato bhagavata dhammo dhammaṃ namassāmi สุปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆสังฆังนะมามินะโมอะตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะนะโมอะตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะนะโมอะตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะพุทธังสรณังกัจฉามิธัมมังสรณังกัจฉามิสังฆังสรณังกัจฉามิตุติยัมปิพุทธังสรณังกัจฉามิตุติยัมปิธัมมังสรณังกัจฉามิตุติยัมปิสังฆังสรณังกัจฉามิตติยัมปิพุทธังสรณังกัจฉามิตติยัมปิธัมมังสรณังกัจฉามิตติยัมปิสังฆังสรณังกัจฉามิภาณาติปาตาวิรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิอาทินาทานาเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิกามเมสุมิจฉาจาระเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิมุสาวาทาเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิสุราเมรายามัจจาปมาทัฏฐานะเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิปฏิปะปูชะกันนะสารปฏิเทนะดิเพนะตัมมตังสีนะติโลกาติปังสัมบุตังปูชยามิตโมนุดังกันดะสัมบรยุตเทนะดุเพนะหังสุขังหินะปูชาเยปูชานิยังตังปูชาปัจจานะมุตตมังวันนะกันดะโคโนเปตังเอตังกสุมาสันทถินปูชายามิมุนินทัสสะสิริปาทาสโรโรเหปูเจมิพุทธังกสุเมนะเนนะ Punena Matena Chohotu Mokam Pupang Malayati Yata Idame Kayo Tatayati Vinasa Bhavang Adivasetu Nobante Paniyang Parikapitang Anukampang Upadaya Patiganhatu Mutamang Adivasetu Nobante Pale Parikapitang Anukampang Upadaya Patiganhatu Mutamang Adivasetu Nobante Bojanang Parikapitang Anukampang Upadaya Patiganhatu Mutamang. Now we will chant the puja aspirations based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits to remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we were diligently on with heedfulness to attain path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculty of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transfer marriage to all beings. May this marriage be shared and transferred to all beings, exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us now pay respect to Paja. Bhutang Pajami. Dhammang Pajami. Sanghang Pajami. Remember the four support. The first three are most basic and most important. To develop this awareness-based meditation, we need the four support. The first one is to relax. So relaxation is very important. To relax both body and mind completely. Relax means be at ease, without issue, without problem. Means the body is completely at ease in the state or relaxed state. And the mind too is in a state of relax, completely relaxed, without any problem, without any issue. If you can do that, the body and mind will be very conducive, yeah, for one to develop the meditative mind state. Because the meditative mind state can only arise if you are able to develop this ability to relax. Yeah. Then after that, the second support is just maintain awareness, just aware. No need to know, no need to do anything to prevent us from lapping into the unconscious or the sleepy state or the mind that create a lot of thinking via mental hindrance. So this two state of sleepiness and heedless thinking are the mind state that you need to avoid. So to do that, we need the second support, which is just aware. When we talk about awareness, it's not about aware of what. When you ask the word aware of what, you are referring to the mundane mind, the thought process. The true mind, which is just aware, is before the knowing, before the perception. So there is nothing for you to be aware of. It's just the awareness nature within, aware, finish. Yeah. So whatever arises within our form and mind, especially our sense basis, the sixth center, upon contact of sense basis with the external sense data and our conscious mind will trigger the respective mind consciousness. That's why we can arise the seeing consciousness, the hearing consciousness, the smell, the taste, the tactile, and the thought consciousness. And these three, they keep on arising. Yeah, these are like nature's law, like the physics experiment. Huh? Upon contact, when there is a battery, there is a bulb, there is a switch, when you on it with everything in functional procedure, then the light bulb will light up. The lighting up is like the conscious process. We call it consciousness. So when the organ of seeing, which is the eye, is involved, it gives rise to the consciousness that see. But before the egoic mind comes in and lashes onto it, it is just that lighting up process, means the mind become conscious. Conscious of seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, and thought process. So when they arise, you just aware, finish. Before you even develop the perception to know what it is that you are being creating through your conscious mind. So this second support of aware is very, very important. This is to decondition your heedless thinking. When you are just aware, you don't think. You don't even try to know. You don't even try to do anything. But all this is by the thought. So when the thought is no longer active, then the awareness nature will arise and develop the stability. And that is what we are doing. That's why we call this the awareness-based meditation. So after you have the first two support, relax, aware, then the third one is to stabilize this awareness, means to maintain this awareness for as long as you can. So the ability to stabilize the awareness is the most important training. So when that can happen, means The cultivator who is developing this awareness-based meditation can realize his true mind, the silent mind, which is the meditative mind before the arising of thought. Then you will experience that deep, tranquil state. The silent mind, which is completely peaceful, quiet, tranquil, and still. That's why there is nothing inside there. The whole mind become transformed, which means there is no thought process, no sankhara, no movement, no activity. If you can realize that, that is the beginning of good meditative training and experience. Because that is how you can realize your true mind, your silent mind. Without thought, then only the awareness nature can arise, that true mind, that silent mind without any activity, without any movement can arise. But before it arises, you need to be very patient. You need to allow that mundane thinking, that mundane activity, that unfinished mental movement to slow down, and cease by itself. All this understanding can only arise if you really go into it and give it a try. When your thought is not active, all this starts to appear. All this that lead to the awareness within will start to happen. And this is a completely different training. Like many Kayamita have come to know. Then you can clearly understand the big difference between the thinking mind, that heedless thinking mind, the mundane mind that has a lot of activity and movement, as opposed to the true mind, which is completely still and without mental activity. That mind is very peaceful, very tranquil, very still, no activity at all. Yeah. So the ability to recognize that and to realize that is the beginning of understanding. Because without this true mind, the silent mind, you cannot develop the clear understanding. Okay, so with this, I will let you meditate on your own. Then for those who already know how to meditate, you just continue to relax, maintain awareness, and let it stabilize. Then when everything has become very quiet, very still, until no more movement, you don't do anything else. Don't panic, just silent. And maintain the ability to be aware if that's silent, until the stillness and the silence become very stable. Yeah. Just do that. Yeah. Then when that thing stabilizes, the real meditative training start. Means the real meditation that is fully awareness-based. Means from the awareness, it will observe. It will insight into phenomena. It will awaken. It will develop the understanding. That's why that silent mind, that true mind, that is only aware. When it is without mundane activity, thinking and movement to cloud it, the emotion to distract it, it can observe, clearly observe. And that observation is what we call the direct seeing, the silent direct observation or seeing. That can allow you to understand clearly who are you, what are you, and how you function as a human being. How the mind arises and passes away following the dwelling, Paticca Samuppada, and how you become what you are. All this you will see clearly and understand them deeply. And through that, you awaken. You are no longer deluded, no longer deceived. And that deep realization within will enable you to understand the difference between the mundane mind and the true mind. Then you will understand clearly without thought, who are you? What are you? And what is this fine aggregate of form and mind all about? What are their universal characteristics? Everything you will come to understand. Okay, you all can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the mind state that you have developed and trained, and you need to make use of it to live life, to develop the heedfulness in the midst of life, especially the stability of daily mindfulness. Invocation to the Devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the dainties or Devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which is heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chokawalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokkadam Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Iti Beso Bhagava Arahang Sammasambuddho Vijjacharana sampanno sugato lokkavido anuttaro purisa dhammasarati satta deva manusanam buddho bhagavati Swagato Bhagavata Dhammo Sandhittiko Akaliko Ehipasiko Upanayiko Pajyatam Veditabhu Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Yupatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Yadidam Chattari Purisa Gani Atta Purisa Pukala Esa bhagavato sāvaka-saṅgho āhuneyo bahuneyo dakkhineyo anjalikaraneyo anuttaraṁ puññaṁ khetaṁ lokasati sādhu Sadhu, sadhu. Yeah, page 418. They appear in the world because they wish to lead living beings to awaken to the knowledge and visions of the Buddha. Once it has been demonstrated to you, you must awaken to it yourself. So this is always the advice. Huh? The Buddha only show us the way. We have to walk the path ourselves. So one have to awaken to this enlightenment through one's own cultivation. If you do not enlighten to it, but merely listen to others talk about it, it is of not much use. Although generally I use the word is of no use. No, there are some use, but not much use. Because what you reflect on, contemplate on, that wisdom is more of the second turning wisdom, which is not as penetrative as the third turning wisdom. So if you do not get yourself awakened to it, if you do not enlighten to it, but merely listen to others, talk about it, then you didn't even reflect, contemplate, then of course it's of not much use. The Buddha wants to cause all living beings to awaken to their inherent Buddha nature, or they call it the Buddha's knowledge and vision, wisdom and perfection of virtue. Then the sutta say they appear in the world because they wish to lead living beings to enter into the path. So this part, entering to the path of that knowledge and vision of the Buddha, is very important. That's why in the teaching, there is always this explanation by the Buddha. The enlightened one, they will have to go through the path and friction. So there are two parts to enlightenment at every stage of sainthood. The first stage is to enter the path. Then after that, to realize the friction of it. So entering the path is to have a glimpse of what this is. Then develop the cultivation accordingly, because you have already enter the path, means you will not deviate, you will not go wrong. You are on it. Then the stability of it is what the friction is. It's just like the fruit. Initially, before it has reached its friction, it is just maybe the initial stage, yeah, where you develop the bud, then from there the flower. And after the flower, you need to wait for it to get pollinated. Then only the fruits starts to develop until finally it's fully ripe. That's why we call that the friction. So enter here means to certify to the attainment of this Buddha state, or that stage of enlightenment that one is going through. Having had it demonstrated to them, having genuinely awakened to it, they must now enter to the path of the Buddha's knowledge and vision. Then there is these few words that the Buddha used: opening, demonstrating, awakening, and entering into the Buddha's knowledge and vision. Living beings will be able to end birth and death. They will have completed the great matter and have nothing more to do. Is they have done what is to be done. That is why after the Buddha spoke this teaching, he passed away into Parinibbana or enter Nirvana. Then the next part of the sutta. Sariputta, these are the causes and conditions of the great one matter or great matter for which all the Buddha appear in the world. The Buddha told Sariputta, all the Buddhas, the thus come one, teach and transform only bodhisattvas. All their actions are always for the one matter, and that is only to demonstrate an enlightened living being to the Buddha's knowledge and vision. Sariputta is speaking Dhamma to living beings. The thus come one use only the Buddha vehicle, is the supreme vehicle. There are no other vehicle, whether two or three. Sariputta, the Dhamma of all the Buddhas of the ten directions is thus. Sariputta, the Buddha of the past by means of limitless, countless expedient devices, various causes and conditions, analogies and expression, have proclaimed all of the Dhamma to living beings. This Dhamma were all for the sake of the one Buddha vehicle, the supreme vehicle. All these living beings, hearing the Dhamma of the Buddha, ultimately attain the wisdom of all modes. So whatever expedient device or initially skillful means that are used to teach living beings, they only have one purpose, to finally bring about the understanding of the supreme vehicle, the Buddha vehicle. Yeah. So this is the ultimate intent. Then we go on to the commentaries. They have this outline. The singularity of the cultivator, the singularity of the practice, the singularity of the teaching. Then you have finally the general conclusion. So, the subheading is explanation of the teaching methods of the Buddha of the three periods of time. First one is the Buddha of the past. Commentaries. Sariputta, the opening, demonstrating, awakening, and entering into the knowledge and vision of the Buddha, which I previously mentioned, causes living beings to end birth and death, release from death, to separate from suffering and attain bliss. These are the causes and conditions of the great one, of the one great matter for which all the Buddhas appear in the world. The Buddha told Sariputta, all the Buddhas, the thus come one, teaches and transforms only bodhisattvas. All their actions are always for the one matter, and that is only to demonstrate an enlightened living being to the Buddha's nature. Sariputta is speaking to the living being. The thus come one only uses the supreme vehicle or the Buddha vehicle. There are no other vehicle, whether two or three. Sariputta, you should understand that the Buddha throughout the ten directions only used the Buddha vehicle. There are no great or small vehicle. There are no other little vehicles. Two refers to the great and small. So this one is the Theravada, or in the early day they call it the Hinayana, or the small vehicle. But they don't like the word Hinayana. They change it to Theravada. Thera means the teachings of the elders. The elders who ordained more than 20 years of ordination, they are called the Theras. Yeah. So they call it the Theravada, otherwise it's Hinayana and Mahayana. That's why they call it the small vehicle and the great vehicle. So three refers to the sound hearer, the conditioned enlightened ones or conditioned enlightened vehicles, and the bodhisattva vehicles. There are not three vehicles either. So what is left is only the one supreme Buddha vahika. So there is only one way. So this is the ultimate teaching. All the earlier teaching actually bring forth the causes and conditions for all this to manifest or appear or to arise. Like I explained to you earlier, because 2,500 or 600 years ago, when Sakyamuni Buddha arise, he taught for 45 years after his enlightenment at the age of 35 underneath the Bodhi tree. So during this 45 years of teachings, of preaching, he initially couldn't start off with the Buddha vehicle or the supreme vehicle, because he realized living beings, they are not ready. Very few can have the capacity or ability to understand his teaching. That's why initially he was reluctant to teach or to even share with the world what he has realized. But then Sahampati, the Brahma who can read the Buddha's mind and knew what was going on, came down from the Brahma realm to pay respect to the Buddha and respectfully request for the Buddha to share what he has realized, because according to Sahampati, there are some with little dust in their eyes who can understand what you want to teach and share. Yeah. That's why after that, the Buddha reflected. Then he realized, yeah, there are some, especially the teachers that taught him Alara Hudaka. But when he checked, the two already passed away. So there was no way. Then he surveyed the world again. Then he recalled the five ascetics that were with him. He said, yeah, this five. If he was to speak to them, they were awakened. That's why he surveyed the world and located them, and then he walked towards that direction to meet up with them. That's how the teaching started. He immediately proclaimed the first sermon, or they call it the Dhammacakka Pavattana Sutta, the first turning of the Dhamma wheel. Yeah. Then after that, he followed by the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, the sutta on non-self or empty nature of existence. With that, all five become arahants. Then after that, there were many that came. They started to develop and grow. Initially, the Sangha were relatively pure. There was not much of a requirement of any rules or whatsoever. So what was taught to them was just basic essential Dhamma and basic five precepts and eight precepts or 10 precepts. Then later on, only the Buddha introduced the monk's precepts. Then later on, as things develop more and more complicated, the Buddha had to add in more and more of these precepts laid down until there are finally 227 for the monks. Then when the ladies also decided to ordain and enter the Bhikkhuni order, initially the Buddha was reluctant because he knew the sasana would be shortened by about 500 years. And 500 years out of 5,000 is about 10%, which is, to the Buddha, is precious and useful. But because of causes and conditions, the people who requested, they are close to the Buddha. One of them is, I think, the mother sister, Mahajaya Mahapahapati, or I forgot the real name. Then the other one was also the wife, Yasohara, and many others. They were very determined, very diligent, and through some persuasion from Ananda, finally the Buddha relented, consented, and allowed. Then the precept increased because of the Bhikkhuni order to 300 something. So this was how it all started and evolved. Then initially he taught a lot of very basic expedient way of teaching. Means the emphasis at that time was only on the sainthood way. The enlightenment of the sainthood way means to speed up the awakening of cultivators to realize the first stage of sainthood, which is Sotapanna shape, followed by the second stage of sainthood, which is Sakadagami shape, then Anagami shape, and finally Arahanta shape. And then after that, only towards the later part of his life, and also to those close disciples of his who have the past, he taught them the Bodhisattva way. And that was not much described under the Theravada scripture, because under the Theravada scripture, Ananda was the attendant. And Ananda at that time was just a Sotapan, even before the Buddha's Parinibbana. He only became Arahant the day after the Buddha's Parinibbana, when the first council was about to seat. So they wanted him to be part of it because he can recite the thing. But he was not an Arahant, so the requirement was all has to become Arahant at least. So he strived very hard. But just before the next morning, which was the first council, when they all meet to review the teaching, he became an Arahant. He was described when he was about to lie down to rest, where he was very tired. He actually given up and he said, enough. When he gave up everything, the mind was clear, blank, didn't hold on to anything. And that was the time with the awareness and the mindfulness. He went into a cessation and he realized the fourth stage of sainthood. It's just as simple as that. Yeah. Then after that, of course, the rest is history. Yeah? So what I want to share with you is the initial teaching during that time was mainly the sainthood way. But there are some who have the past. They are able to actually realize the enlightenment to become Pacheka Buddha even without the sasana. That's why they divided these two into the first two expedient way type of cultivation. And they call it the Theravada tradition, Xiaocheng, the small vehicle. Then later on, it moved on to China, where Bodhidharma transmitted the teaching over to China. Then Mahayana starts to develop. Mahayana is the greater vehicle where they teach a lot of emphasis is on the Bodhisattva way. So the Bodhisattva way was propagated through the Mahayana teaching, especially after the six patriarch Huining, Master Huining, when he came, he was able to share the teaching in such unique way that he came out with the sudden teaching, which we have gone through in our Sunday class. The Sunday class sudden teaching, chapter 84, the 84th lesson, not chapter 84, 84th lesson of the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta is very beautiful. Well, that it was the final chapter. And this one describes the hallmark teachings of Huining, where he take you direct to that nature within. That's why the first hallmark is to realize the state of no thought. That is what I'm sharing and teaching you all too. Awareness-based meditation is go into awareness and to realize that true mind, which is beyond thought, beyond mind, and it must be a free mind. That's why that teaching is very, very fast and the most penetrative. That's why he called it the sudden teaching. You can just awaken to it when you understand. The moment you realize it and understand, you awaken. No need to wait for one day or gradually. No need. But if you go through the thought-based meditation, which is not awareness-based, it can take you many, many eons of cultivation, and yet you are stuck. You cannot realize anything. You cannot penetrate. Maybe some with the parami can realize the sainthood way. And to realize the sainthood way, they also must have a glimpse of their true mind, their silent mind, or that cessation of nibbana. So all these are actually thought, but what is recorded is mainly the Theravada teachings. Then later on the Mahayana teaching. But both these teachings, they are no longer the authentic one at that time when the Buddha was sharing them. Well, over the years, the commentaries, the interpretation, and the way it was transmitted and shared down have involved a lot of, what I should say, distortion, or what they call deviation. It's no longer the original, authentic, penetrative teaching. Because as the year passed by, the way the teaching, the essential Dhamma and the methods, the technique, the object of meditation that were introduced through all the later years of commentaries and explanation by various authors and teachers has made it so different, so different. So unless you can meet someone who have gone through the cultivation and realize that thing, it is not easy for you to receive the true teaching. So to realize this awareness nature within is the most important. That's why when Hui Ning came out with that sudden teaching, that was the major breakthrough. That was the beginning of the great Mahayana teaching. It flourished and become very popular and very famous. Then, like all teaching over the years, it also get distorted, deviation and all those things. And now we have a lot of other teachings. But all this teaching, you can meet up with the true cultivators of the way, they can explain to you. Then you will still be able to find a way and develop the practice accordingly. So nothing to worry. Take care of karma. Karma will take care of your life. Then make aspiration. Then follow the Bodhisattva vow, the yellow card that I have taught you. Then determine to make aspiration. Then invoke power of merit for causes and conditions. For you to have this right understanding, right view, and right causes and conditions. To develop this understanding whenever you arise, means whenever you choose to come or you have to come, you will have this right view, right understanding, and the four basic vow deeply planted into your nature, so that you will never get lost, whether there is sasana or no sasana. And then you are saved. Unless you do that during this golden window, there is no guarantee. But if you do it, you can rest assured all your future coming evolution will be assured or guaranteed. Okay, so this is the part I want to share. Yeah? Okay, now we go back to the text. Sariputta, the Dhamma or the Buddha or the Ten Directions is thus. They speak the Dhamma in the same way. They also say that there is only the one Buddha vehicle or the supreme vehicle, and there is no other vehicle. We have this earlier division of the two vehicle or the three vehicle. They are more for the expedient devices or skillful means that were needed at that time. Then the sutta continued. Sariputta, the Buddha of the past by means of limitless, countless expedient devices, various causes and conditions, all kinds of causes and conditions to teach living beings. Here is explained. They say you plant good causes, you will reap the good fruit. If you plant evil causes, you will reap the evil fruit. So this one, I think, is a direct translation from the Mandarin. So the English translation doesn't sound that proper. Those who know Mandarin, I think, you will understand it better. Because I remember the early day, I used to listen to Master Xuan was sharing. He used Mandarin. He said, 种因结果, 种善因, 结善果, 种恶因结恶果. That's why it's all the same. But the English translation here is not good. Not so accurate. So what he did was, initially he said, 种因结果 is there are causes and conditions within nature. Whatever causes you plant, there will be the result or the fruition of it. Then he said, you plant 种善因结善果. That's why here they translate it as you plant good causes. Actually, good and the word san is actually very different. San is meritorious, virtuous, not only good, wholesome also, not only good, sometimes good, according to you, is not good, whereas wholesome, at least is a better word, or virtuous is also a better word, meritorious is also a better word. So the Mandarin word is san ying actually. The English word translation, they choose the word good is not an appropriate good translation. But those who know Mandarin, 种善因结善果, it's very good. Then 种恶因, if you plant evil causes, this one is quite similar, then you will reap evil fruits. 种善因结恶果. Sorry, 种善因结善果, 种恶因结恶果. So you plant the seed of evil, you will reap the fruit of evil. So this one is very important. Then they say goodness brings good reward. Then evil brings evil retribution. These various kinds of causes and conditions concerning the operation of cause and effect, along with analogy and expression, were used to clarify the doctrine or the teaching. But I remember when Xuan Hua was teaching or proclaiming all this teaching, I like his closing conclusion. He always say like that, 种因结果. 种善因结善果, 种恶因结恶果. Then he said, 众生千万要小心。Means living being, you must be careful. 千万不要种错因，结错果。He said, never, never allow yourself to plant the wrong seed, the evil seed, and reap the wrong fruit. He said, if you are a farmer, you're supposed to plant the appropriate fruit for the appropriate good harvest, isn't it? But you plant the evil roots that make you evil, means you become heedless, although you don't intentionally do it. But through delusion, through heedlessness, you go and plant the seed of evil with the evil root. You will reap the fruit of evil, which is your evil coming. All the evil karma that living being experience is from their delusion that condition them to plant the seed of evil. That's why never, never make that mistake of planting the wrong seed and reaping the wrong fruit. You not only wasted all the effort of farming and planting, but you create very, very evil condition for your life, which is the karmic negativity, the friction of all those negative evil action. Yeah. So when you are confronted with all this, you can see it in your life when you take rebirth or when you arise in this conditional. That's why the Buddha said we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So because of that, you can see all this. Like that day, Polian tried to explain what happened. Then from there, I can explain to her what actually happened. Why did she experienced all this, the colleague and all those things, make fun of her, speak in such harsh and negative manner and all things. So there are causes and conditions behind. That's why you can see it. Then when you see it and understand it, you have to come to terms with this reality, where these are the causes and conditions behind. So we accept, then we don't react. We don't create negativity of mind state, no more evil roots. Then we are at peace. And when you are at peace, you have clarity of mind. Then you can inquire, ask yourself what actually happened. How can I move on? How can I resolve all this amicably? To what? The Dhamma way, which is following the Noble Eightfold Path. And then step by step, Noble Eightfold Path. If you have developed the cultivation, you will know what to do. Then you do what you have to do. The three ways that I always teach. You need to have the right view to accept what happened. Then, knowing that all these are karmic related. The first thing that you must do is to ask for forgiveness, to seek repentance. Then vow not to repeat all this by following the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind. And that is what cultivation is all about. When you start to do that, you are actually basically cultivating the Noble Eightfold Path, following the advice of the Buddha. And with that, you will have a lot of merits, wholesomeness, paramis developed. And when this is done, your life will change for the better. It will help you develop the understanding, the causes and conditions for you to actually resolve whatever matter that arises in life amicably and move on. And it can even clear your coming obstruction, bring forth the way, and you can be a blessing to all. Then, of course, the last step is the third way, which is to invoke power of merits. But you have to cultivate for at least 3 to 6 months before there is sufficient merits for you to invoke, unless in the past you have done them. But most likely, you have to do it this life too. Then when you invoke the power of merits for causes and conditions to turn around, it can be very beautiful. You can use it to help others too, especially your loved ones, your related loved ones and all those things. Or even your good friend, your brothers, your sister, your siblings, your good neighbor or whoever, even your colleagues. So these are the way. We call it the Dhamma way. Following the Dhamma. So when you have all this understanding, your life can change over for the better. No matter what happened to you in life, no matter how miserable one can be. So once you understand this teaching, you can move. You can develop the understanding to transform yourself, to cultivate, to change over to a new way of living, which is the heedful living, no longer the heedless living. That's why we develop this awareness-based meditation, and we teach the essential Dhamma. We teach you how to apply the teaching to develop all this understanding so that you can be a blessing to yourself, to your loved one, and to all of humanity as a whole. And you can radiate that love, that metta, that wholesomeness towards all beings, towards the environment, towards nature, towards the entire existence. And this mind state can be your parami, can be very conducive, very wholesome, and it can also change the totality of consciousness within our environment, our nation, our planet, and the world systems, even the planetary world system, then later on the galaxy, the Milky Way, and even the whole universe. All this become possible. That's why the Dhamma way is the most beautiful. The Buddha had proclaimed all the Dhammas to living beings. This Dhamma were all for the sake of the one supreme Buddha Vahika. Although he spoke of the great and small and of the trivial, hope he finished this one also. The Buddha's ultimate wish, his primary intention was only to speak the Buddha Vahika and guide living beings to the quick realization of the Buddha path. Means the Bodhisattva way. All these living beings, hearing the Dhamma from the Buddha, ultimately attain the wisdom of all modes. There are three types of wisdom. First, there is all wisdom which belongs to emptiness, and which is the principles of emptiness to which those of the other two vehicles certify to. Secondly, there is the wisdom in the path, to which the Bodhisattva or the provisional vehicle certified to. This type of wisdom belongs to existence. The existent man here is a false temporary existence, not true existence. Those of the two vehicles certified to the attainment of the empty, while the Bodhisattva of the provisional vehicle certified to the attainment of the existence. Thirdly, there is the wisdom of all mode. This style of wisdom belongs to the middle path, the middle way. It leans neither to the extreme of emptiness nor to the extreme of existence. It is the wisdom of the middle way to which the Buddha certified to. So this is the Mahayana classification. Okay, we are at the last paragraph of page 420. So now we shall continue your second session, which is meditation reporting, or whatever question you may have regarding the meditation, the Dhamma, or how to apply this Dhamma understanding so that you can use it to help you resolve any world situation or issue that one confront.
Evening Virtue, Mrs. Tiu 跟所有的 Ganamita 我祝福大家这个新的一年2023年能够大家能够福慧双修然后继续的cultivate strike on with heavenness 那我也祝福Brad Tiu 跟 Mrs. Tiu 还有所有的 Ganamita 能够身体健康。Brad Tiu, maybe 我 share 一个experience OK, 我刚刚从Kuantan 的那个trip 回来，我这一次是去帮忙做 helper，因为这一次我们是在一个 Buddhist temple 借他的那个地方来 conduct 这个retreat，我就去帮忙。And then, during 这个 retreat, 因为我们是借别人的地方，所以很多的restrictions. And then 就有一个 helper, 一个男的一个 helper, 就他没有什么 follow 我们的 rules, 就每天一直跑去 temple 的 kitchen, 然后在那边一直讲话。我看到了，我也就有一点 reactions，但是就在 during meditation 的时候，那个 mandate mind 就在那边一直就开始的，很像 sweet talk 这样子。但他这一次他不是很 loud，他就很像小小声的，一直在被你的耳边这样子，就在你的耳边一直这样就一直吼，一直去 comment，一直去 criticize 这个 helper。整个那个meditation 的那个 sections，then after 了那个 sections 了，我出来，然后我去看这个人，连这个 helper 又坐在我的旁边跟我一起吃饭。The moment 我在吃饭的时候，我看住他，but during 那个时候 silent 的时候，你看住他，你又觉得诶，这个 form am I 又没有事情啊，just he is what he is，
That one is very important.
But during 那个 meditation 下一个 section 的时候，你一 sit down 的时候，那个马尼麦又在那边很 sweet talk，哇，就一直讲他 not follow the rules 又怎样又怎样，哇，一直在那边一直讲，but 他不是很。
我知道，
老
我知道，not the strong type
one，but
because your mindfulness is there, you're more sensitive, you can sense it in the background doing all these things. 什么？
So then 就section 完了以后，我就去 reflect 去 contemplate，包括就你每次讲的那些答嘛，我讲
对话很重要，
对，我想people just they are the way
they
are，然后the world is the world，这样
people is just the way they are，
我一直去 contemplate，然后去 contemplate，然后 sitting 的时候他又来他我就是 just be with it。And then 让他去讲，等下他就慢慢的，他过后会静下来。然后第三天的时候，我在下午吃饭的时候，suddenly 里面一直笑，一直笑笑笑着出来。
That one is very good。
然后我就觉得这么，然后他就一个 statement 就讲，外面都没有动，就只有你的 mind 一直在动。
对。
然后 out of sudden 我很像整个明白了这样。Then from there onward, the next section 就没有聊这个 chattering 了，就静静的。然后我就每一个 section 就很静的这样子的在做 sitting。
Okay, before you continue, I have to explain this first, otherwise I will forget. You see, what you went to on is a, I should say, totally different from what Paulian went to. Paulian went to one is.That one is still inside her, where she perceives the situation with negativity because the egoic mind is still there, very strong. That's why she cannot take it. She hold on to what the colleague say, whoever who make fun of her, this. So this one, the egoic mind, that actually latches on to it, react and cling. That one is very, very...I should say strong external defilement that cultivator need to first root out and overcome. So that one is for you all, most of your like song, you all have cleared already. It's no longer disturbing you. But what is disturbing you is your habitual tendency. We are in the past. You all have been taught and trained in a very, very rigid way. Means the rules to you all are very important. In a retreat, you cannot talk, you cannot do this, you cannot do that, you must follow rules and all that. That's why I say wherever there is rigidity, there is no Dhamma. But Dhamma is not rigid. Rules are rules that are applied or introduced when a situation warrants it. Like the Buddha, he also introduced rules. You must always remember what I share with you, like traffic rule, like traffic lights. Why they introduce traffic light? Yeah. The civil engineer will know because they do traffic design and all those things. It's because that junction has reached its capacity. If you don't have the traffic light to regulate, it will create massive jam and problem. That's why you need to introduce all these rules to regulate certain intent and purpose. But like the traffic light, if it has lost its ability to regulate, don't be a rigid, rigid, deluded follower. Understand? Go and see the traffic light. A red light cannot go, no? Undang-undang test or it is a accepted practice. Red light cannot go. But the traffic light is our order. You somehow rigidly hold on to all this, then you will create a lot of trouble. Then everybody will try to be right. Hey, why are you so stupid? You wait there for what? You go. Then this fellow will counter. Huh? Go ah? Red light at all. Accident how? So all the what they call argument or interpretation or what they call justification can come out. But these are worldly situation and condition that need wisdom to resolve. So if the rules does not serve the intent anymore, then do not try to be rigid. The other thing is, if you are a cultivator, then you should know all this inside out, otherwise you cannot deal. So what happened to you was, this helps your tendency from the past conditioning, because it must be something very severe, because this guy not only violate the rule, he like completely don't care about the rule. He go to the kitchen, he don't follow anything, any rules or inside, he just go to the kitchen and talk, chit-chat and all. So normal people cannot take it on, understand? Cannot take it on. So this habitual thinking will create that perception, no? How can this guy do that? He's a helper, no? He volunteer, no? He like that, no? The rules is very clear, no? And yeah, he do all this. This is what Sankara is. Sankara through memory, through views, opinion, and habitual tendency, they will create this. Then when it arise, because it is your habitual tendency that you have not root out yet, because that part is not easy to root out. That's why you already perceive him with negativity. And without you knowing it, you accumulated this. That's why when you meditate, you relax, you're silent. You know it's not strong, it's like chattering behind, the very subtle one. But it is disturbing. Because if there is no wrong view, no attachment, no habitual tendency to actually perceive in negativity, then the brain don't carry. It's not accumulated. That's why later on you can inside laugh and tell you, if your mundane mind don't move, inside don't move, outside is just the way it is. Understand? But because that wisdom hasn't stabilized and gone in to root out the habitual tendency, the subtle one, you still have this problem. Luckily, you reflected, you contemplated. Then through the reflection and contemplation, you develop the more stable understanding, where you use that very important pointer. People are just the way they are. Deluded people do deluded things. Selfish people do selfish things. And emotional people do emotional things. They are just the way they are. And the world is the world. Conditioned like that, things will be like that. People are just the way they are. The world is the world. So this one needs stability or understanding one. Not like those knowledge based on a thought based on a, yeah lah, they are just the way they are, man. Look at poach on me. That one won't resolve the problem one. They are just the way they are, need to be understood one. So that inside, no need to react. Because Dhamma has two aspects. One is the wisdom part, where inside understand, gone, no more. But the other one is within the conditioned world. The conditioned world one, very complicated one, very messy one. Because once you use the thought to reason, it's gone already. That's why no amount of analysis and reasoning can give you the wisdom and answer. It will lead to more problem once again. But when you need to live in the world, there is such thing as duality and as well. There is such thing as people doing this and all those things. So the ultimate one is the unconditioned Dhamma. He is the way he is. When you understand, you at peace already. Then when you meditate, it doesn't carry over. It doesn't come over. But initially, before this thing stabilized, it come over. Because in the early day, I remember, after I realized the Dhamma, age 35, then later on, I think, Yun Chan, they all came to me and asked me to share. That time, actually, I already have all the understanding, everything, and all this cannot affect me already. Then what happened was, when I started to share, I started to see this, which is very strange. I know they are not real, but somehow, the form and mind, when it tried to share and teach, it still have this type of behind, that type of concern. How come living being cannot understand? Because I realize when I try to share, they cannot follow what I share. They cannot. Then they keep on, like sometimes argue, understand, or present their line of argument, their reasoning. But brother, I didn't hear monk talk like that one. Monk also never teach like that one. Why you teach? All this type of thing. Then in between, a lot of other things. Then I came back. I reflected. How can I come out with the understanding so that I can allow living being to understand? So that Kayamita can develop the understanding. That's why I have to reverse back my teaching. Because initially I thought it was the Dhamma. So I tried to explain the Dhamma, cannot go through it because they were not ready. They cannot understand, completely cannot understand what I did. So I had to reverse back to teach them the essential Dhamma. Then from basic, one by one, build it up. Then from then, only extend the cultivation. The first turning, second turning, third turning. It was so difficult. Even the first three turning of the Four Noble Truths, the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, which I started, it was not easy. That's why I came to that understanding. Then when I came back, I remember, because when I went out to share, that was the first time I came out to share. I never shared before, but inside here I had to understand. But very funny is, when I was sharing, that thing that was shared and what they say and all those things, beyond my awareness and mindfulness was so stable. I was able to listen to all this and catch up. And I know from what direction they come and how they got stuck at that level. They are just the way they are. They cannot do all this and they cannot understand all this. They are still trapped down there. It's just like you look at the primary school kids or the form 1, form 2, form 3 kids. Because you went to uni already, you've gone through all this. You know where they are stuck on. Because they are limited in their understanding. They will present this type of argument and all this thing. So what happened was, when I came back, I remember, That time, my mandapa hasn't collapsed yet. Then this sankhara still move on. Even when I drive back, or somebody send me back, then on the way I will contemplate while I reflect. But my reflection is, how can I actually let them understand, so that for the good of the many, of the kayamita, so that when I share again, they can understand. So this contemplation and reflection was very important. Then I realized, even when I reach home, this up here still wants to find answer to help them. No? Understand? No? Then later I realized, forget about it. Finish means finish. Understand? No? That's why later on I developed the third level of understanding. Kan san, use san. You understand? No? The first level is kan san, bu su san, mandin si. Sorry, kan san, su san, mandin si. Then kan san, bu su san is the supramundane. When you are at that stage of supramundane si, you want to teach people, very difficult. We teach people still at stage one. See, then there is this right and wrong habitual version of perceiving things, you know? But because of the wisdom, it's not caught. It's not caught. It understood. Okay. Then what happened was, as I reflect and contemplate, then I realize thing is just the way it is. That's why I can share with you. Condition like that, things will be like that. Nature is. The reality is. For me, after I have that understanding, I say, my duty is to share. Finish. After that, you agree, you don't agree, you can receive, you cannot really, nothing to do with me. Understand? That's why nowadays you see, I just laugh. I just smile. Then even they like sometimes at the retreat, they question me, like last time your brother Chia starting that time, they keep on attacking one. Want to like prove that you are not the one that understand. He every time he come out with something, he like he think he win already, he think he can corner me already or attack me. But the way I answer him, he realize he know he is no match, that type of wisdom. That's why finally on the second day, I think in the afternoon, before the lunch break, he came now. He approached me, he talked to me, then he said he want to pay respect. Yeah. Then he want to learn and all that. Then I sense something that he is sincere. He said, then I say, okay, I will teach you something after. I say, when you're free, before the class start, you come and see. So he came immediately after the lunch, when nobody was around the room. Then immediately I taught him about the triangle and the trinity. How that mundane living, the awareness one. Then after you develop the awakening, you use this to live. That part, the missing link, he don't understand. So once I explained that to him, because he later on had the parami to... Because initially he was very confused. He said, lying down one or meditation, and he heard Jin Hao snore like anything. A lot of people snoring there. But it was so new, that session. A lot of people were in there snoring. So I said, what type of meditation is it? But later on, he tried, when he had the faith. Then he realized he himself was snore. That's why he understood what was going on. Then he starts to change. He starts to laugh. Then he realized after he do the lie down, he was throughout the mind, the day, mindful. No? The mind enters deep. No? Then he realized what I share was true. No? He was every movement, every action, even go down to kitchen, he very quiet. The mindfulness was there. Yeah, he actually has developed it before, but he doesn't know how to apply it and use it. Yeah, nobody explained to him. He instead went into the continuous mindfulness. He went into apana. He went into absorption. Yeah. That's why energy field and all those things. Then later on, he has to develop this to release it and all those things. So what happened is, not only at your level where the habitual tendency can come in, but you have to root it out with stable understanding. Now I can explain further. There are two parts. One is the unconditioned Dhamma that you have to understand through that contemplation, reflection. Then after that, hey no you, hey no me, like you say, five degree of forming mind. Understand? Even though it's just a five degree of, when he's doing it in the kitchen, you must reflect and contemplate and realize that. It's just a fine aggregate of form and mind, the way he is doing those things. Because he is just the way he is. Then when you have that, you will not perceive him with negativity. And then it will not accumulate in your brain. Then you realize when you go and meditate or say, no more problem. You don't even want to talk about it. Understand? Unless there is condition to share, to teach, and to develop the understanding further. So this is a very important understanding that you can develop. Luckily, you reported this. So this is what I want to share. But it's completely different from Chipolin. Chipolin one is stage one, haven't cleared. You have to clear that one. Yeah, that one, your ego is still there. The egoic mind is still very strong. You still can get hurt very easily. Very easy. You keep it inside. That is your problem. And you bosong until you cannot tahan. You do something else, so the thought's still moving. You stop everything, then you key into your handphone, then you shoot it out. Oh, that one is very latent. Bokeh one. Like pressurized already. Want to release. That is what the heedless delusion can actually condition what they call initial cultivator to do all this one. Because initial cultivator don't have the stability or mindfulness to see and understand all this. So she lack the mindfulness stability of it to see all this. She is at the thought level. At the knowledge level. And that one more difficult to develop wisdom and understanding to clear. But once her awareness stabilized, once she start to see and understand, she will progress very fast. She will move very fast. So all this, we should thank our Kayamita force for having this condition to have all this sharing that enable the cultivators of the way to actually bring forth the understanding. But the last session, what Joey shared was very typical of a new cultivator who just went into awareness basically. But she tried for 2, 3 years now. Only now she start to understand. Last time she totally cannot understand. Now she understand that this Maya can be quiet and still on its own or not. Although she cannot stabilize it, she only have a glimpse of it. But it's good enough. Then when I explain the difference between the heedless thinking, he can recall last time was continuous the sankhara analyzing, reasoning, thinking, commenting, chattering is non-stop one, cannot stop one. But at least now she know how to relax when they awareness. Maybe, although cannot stabilize it. After a while, the thought come out. Never mind. The beginning of that understanding is very important. Once you see that there is a moment of quietness, stillness, the mind can become like that. That is the glimpse that she need to see. Then the faith very strong. And now she had the faith to do it already. So I say, just to be patient. Relax, maintain. The result will come. It's a matter of when. Then after that is the Jubilant one. The thought very strong, very active, and like to hold and keep inside. So that one, you have to stabilize your faith and develop the mindfulness. The mindfulness must stabilize until you can see like Joey like that start. Then the daily mindfulness stabilize. Then you become a serious cultivator. you will not just like attend, 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 because you like to attend, attend, and listen. Of course, sometimes you find it interesting, you listen, then you think you learn something. But all this is still like what Shen Hua mentioned just now. Listening to what others tell you, understand? Other people sharing and experience, not your own one, understand? Then you develop this like knowledge, understand? Then you think you know, you think you understand, but you cannot apply it, understand? That's why he said it's of no use. He used the word of no use, but I say of limited use, or not much use. I use the word not much use. Why? Because you didn't reflect, you didn't contemplate, you didn't inquire, you didn't go deep into it. You don't have the mindfulness, the clarity, understand? The awareness to go into all this, to reflect into all this. So cultivation has two parts. One is to realize the stability of mindfulness, develop the faith, develop the awareness, stabilize it. Then from there, you can develop the daily mindfulness to develop the stability or understanding. Then you reflect, you contemplate, then you silent and do it until it becomes very stable. Then the ultimate unconditioned Dhamma will surface. Then when it surfaces, that is the first stage to enable you to root out the gross one, the very gross one. Yeah. Then later on, you deal with like what song they all go through, the habitual tendency, the more subtle one. Because these are the ones that you need to go through life. You need to go through relationship, like your career and all those things, to see all those things. Like how your client did all those things and how you react. And even when you now go to retreat, all this. Because every time is how you perceive a situation. That's why I say there is no such thing as a problem when you understand. A problem only exists, when you perceive a situation with negativity. Understand? If you don't perceive in negativity, your brain don't accumulate. And the sankhara will not move, will not come out. You realize every moment of sense experience, when you just stir your mind or react, it already accumulated. Why this fellow like that? Why he like that? So this is how it goes. So initially, you have to be very mindful to see it. Because the moment I saw it, I felt it, I knew what it accumulated already. That's why I need to contemplate, reflect, stabilize, understanding, and rule. Then, that time when it happened, I will know what it is. Then the unconditioned Dhamma there already. I mean, I know no reality. But I have to go into life, understand? Because I am with a form and mind in existence. Kan san yuzu san is one. When you meet worldly people, you have to talk worldly way, understand? Oh. You have to, like other people, yala, how can this driver be like that? But you know, you say it, but you don't mean it. It cannot affect you, another. But not everybody is like you, another. If you behave like the second way, kansan, busasana, then everything is against the conventional world. Then people cannot have the relationship, you cannot live with well, this guy has. Talk as if he already enlightened and go through what already. Then people don't like to talk to you, understand? So that one cannot fit into the world, cannot fit into society. To fit into the world and society, you must have the third stage of seeing. Kan san, yu si san. Means you become normal again. When you meet the mundane people, you speak the mundane way. When you meet the enlightened people who has the direct seeing, you speak the Dhamma way, understand? That one is very difficult, the Dhamma one, to go into the Dhamma one. That one you need a lot of stability or understanding. Well, that one involves the Bodhisattva way, your exposure, like the Wuliang Yi Ching, you remember? You have to have that wide exposure, extensive exposure. Over aeons and aeons and you know cultivate. That's why I told you all, a lot of the things that my form and mind realized this life I didn't learn them this line. Even the teacher did. This is from my past. I inherited the spiritual nature that had this understanding. Even asking for forgiveness and all those things, the Bodhisattva way, the yellow card. All these are from the past. It's not from this life. But this life, this form in mind, nobody teach me like that. And all this understanding came from that spiritual nature of the earlier cultivation, the continuous cultivation. So this is the part that you need to develop further understanding. So now it's like more or less towards the final stage of cultivation already. The unconditioned Dhamma clear. After that, go into life. The conditioned Dhamma also need to clear. Then you reach the third stage of seeing. Khan san, use san. You become normal again. You no longer trapped in duality. Whoever you meet, you can fit in. You can fit in. That's why I can talk to children. I can talk to people with suffering. I can talk to people who has the Dhamma, cultivator on the way, or difficult people. No problem. They are just the way they are. We've got condition. We share no condition that things be. Then the other thing, finally, you have to understand. Once you share, finish. Finish means finish. Whether they agree, they don't agree, they accept, they learn, they don't learn. Nothing to do with you because no reality. After all, form and mind, understand? Everything is what? Dependent orienting, condition arising. So, mighty nature rolling by, understand? Where's the reality? He know you, he know me. Nothing actually exists. But there is such thing as law of karma, understand? There is such thing as a karmic nature. There's a, you cannot simply like neglect and don't care. Cannot. That's why the conditioned world type of Dhamma living is very complicated one. Very difficult to understand and perfect it on. That's why you have to become great being to have the ability. Most cultivators of the way cannot deal with life one. That's why those who listen to my sharing is because it's all life related. And everything about life can be actually explained by the essential Dhamma. And this is where the uniqueness of the teaching of the Buddha is. It's so beautiful, so unique. So today, I think we should all rejoice with a good condition. Let's rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So, Chipolian is also for you. So, you should thank song. Okay, you continue. Yeah, with your sharing.
After 了那个understanding 了过后，我每个的 sitting 那个 mind 就 silent 下来了，就没有一直在去 criticize 他。然后我就在想，哎。为什么前面那几天就一次的吼、哦、一次去很像去哇然后我想、yeah. 这个 Monday mind 哦 very strong 要不是没有 mindfulness 跟 understanding 我一定是给他骗去
yeah, 你做不到你看不到
我一定给他骗了然后我就去 report
why, in the meditation 最重要的是、啊、what make you lack of peace the subtle behind one is your habitual tendency you haven't rooted out one That one, although very weak, but it is still disturbing you. Because why? When you perceive that person at that moment when he was in the canteen, he did something extraordinary out of the norm that make you react. Otherwise, you cannot react already. And because of that, you perceive with such negativity, then you accumulated it. And without you knowing it, when you meditate, when you relax, silent, aware, it come out and haunt you. Why? Because you accumulated it. Listen to this. Thought is one. Respond to that accumulated memory. Where you perceive him with negativity. That's why that image of that, the content of consciousness that you have accumulated, your aversion towards it, where to you is very, very wrong. How can this guy do that? And that itself is already a very strong negative perception that accumulates. That's why it will cause you to give rise to that type of chattering thought or those subtle behind. Not only that, a lot of things in life, you will later see a lot of all this, very subtle, whatever, slight bosong or what, it went in already, accumulated. Until one day I remember, I realized, wow, no wonder living being cannot deal, because it go in so fast. Without mindfulness, without wisdom, without understanding, there is no way you can deal with life. Because the sixth sense door operates so fast. And without yoni so manasikara, that's why I used to tell you yoni so manasikara. What is yoni so manasikara? Wisdom at the moment of sense experience. If you are not cultivated, it's not stabilized, yeah? You don't have means you don't have one. You cannot deal with it at all. That's why you will stir, you will react, you will move, become emotional. You will perceive it negative. Even though you have the Dhamma already, the unconditioned Dhamma, but the habitual tendency is still there. It may not cause you much suffering, but it come and disturb you, understand? Yes, your weakness is you like to reason. You like to analyze. Why like that? Especially after you connect at the Rayong there, the what Ajahnan place there, come back. You like to analyze, you like to reason, then you like to ask, why still like that, Pratik? Why still like that? Because you saw, but you don't know what it is. That's why I keep on telling you at that time, it's still from the thought, it's still from the thought. The thought has come through the back door to tell you story. So never allow it to analyze or reason. But no amount of analysis and reasoning through the sankhara process or mundane mind can give you the wisdom that is beyond top of your mind. Cannot. You must see it, awaken to it. Then only you realize, oh, that's how I become what I am. They say incarnate. Means he keep on stirring you, turning you and stirring you until you cannot do anything. Because you keep on wanting to reason. Why I still got anger? Why I still got fear? Why? All these are delusions that a lot of cultivators carry. You know, to them, they experience that fear. They thought fear is them, no? Why I still have fear? Why I still go and comment about all this? Why I still keep on you like that? So all this come from that negativity of perception through lack of mindfulness and wisdom. Yoniso manasikara at the moment of sense. So that one need to stabilize on. That's why that one is step four. Yoniso manasikara. Then only sati sampajana can become very stable. Otherwise, the sati sampajana cannot become very stable. Because the space within thought, you must arise it, have more and more moment. But as long as you do not react and stir your mind with every moment of sense, then that space within thought will be longer and longer and longer. Then you will come to a stage where you hardly think, you hardly react, you hardly stir. And most of the time, you are tranquil, still, peaceful. No matter what happened, that moment, after that, no more. Means the ultimate understanding is very stable already, there already. Then to root out the worldly one, you need to spend a bit more time. You need to wait till I remember your mundane mind must collapse. Otherwise, not easy. It take a while. It may, like I say, I went through the sharing initially before my mundane mind collapsed. I knew what it is, but I still come back, want to help. That's how want to contemplate and reflect. How can I actually let them understand? Then when I reflect and contemplate, actually I can come up with new approach. That's why I will teach from different direction. Approach the same Dhamma sharing from different example, different direction, so that people can get a wider understanding of what this thing is. Then only they can stabilize their understanding. Otherwise, they cannot. They cannot. But the Dhamma is very funny. You approach it from one direction, people cannot understand. But the real meaning is, that's why I say, the Dhamma is non-rigid one. Non-rigid in the sense that it involves so much causes and conditions behind on. If you cannot see and understand all this, you cannot apply the Dhamma. That's why you use my word, repeat what I say, and no use. Because different conditions, different people, different coming background, everything different. Society can be different. Evolution can be different. Then karmic conditioning background, then the situation at that time, all can be very, very varied and different. And you cannot always like one size fit all, every time apply like that. But the essential Dhamma is still the essential Dhamma. But how to approach it and how to apply it is all very different. Everyone is different. So that one is not easy. Because it cannot be learned. And it cannot be taught also. You have to go through the process. That's why you have to go through the Bodhisattva way ultimately to develop this stability. So don't worry that this line you cannot do it at all. But don't worry. It will continue to evolve and develop the understanding. Then as you go through the Bodhisattva way for a certain period, then all this understanding will come to you. Then in future, you can have all this understanding and become very different. Okay? So sadhu, sadhu. Very good. Anything else can summarize before we end?
对，我过后，我这一次很清楚的去看到那个满地麦，怎样的 disturb。 然后突然间过后，我就能够明白，人家不是就看你的 explain 那些 essential 的嘛，想哇，这个满地麦真的，如果没有 mindfulness， 没有 understanding，哇，你真的是给他骗去，cannot
deal with
it。我讲，如果在这一次我没有 silent 跟没有 understanding， 我一定去 react， 我一定去 report to 那个
teacher，有时候自己去 reprimand 他。
Then after 当我有 understanding 了过后，有一天我去厨房，我看到他的时候， then 我跟我自己讲，哎呦，我的 duality， 我的你我相 so strong，
yeah, 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 yeah.
我那个分别，因为这个是你的
habitual tendency 来的。 So from there you still when you are not fully aware or conscious with the Dhamma means the Uniso Manasikara when that thing is not stable yet. You cannot deal. You still perceive in negativity. But under your normal understanding, like you came to know, he is normal. What? He's just a form of mind. What? You can say that, but you don't have that inside you. That's the stability of it. You can only have that when you have clear thinking, when he's behaving normally. When he suddenly get violent or attack you or say something funny, that is the best test. The way you perceive it and react, you will know. For me, whatever happened here, very stable. Then you will observe and see. If no condition, just let things be. Just let it be. Why you want to involve? But when there is condition to act, to help or want, then this one will know that it will arise. You know, nowadays, a lot of scammer around. Some, they prey on your compassion, your kindness, your generosity. Because there are a lot of this, what they call, people who actually make use of human weakness, their greed, their, what they call, weaknesses, to actually scam you, to trick you. That's why sometimes they come, you eat in the coffee shop, they want to sell you things. They're in the mall, so now more and more. Then there are a lot of this type of thing going on. That's why society, as it evolves, this type of thing manifests. In the past, don't have one. But now IT era, then the snatch tip era, baru, recently over because of MCO. Otherwise, the snatch the era, the woman kena. Last time, cook gang is the male kena. That's why different civilization, different era, different type of thing happen on horizon. And the world is very beautiful. We're in the, that's why we are living in the golden age of transition, where I saw the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, until the 2000, and now 2000 and beyond. These are the golden years where civilization goes through this type of transition, and it evolves so fast, though, especially now the IT age. Though. If I live another 10 years, I see a lot of things. That's why I like to come during this period. My nature like to arrive. This is a period I can learn a lot of things. I can get to witness a lot of things. Sadhu, and how for creating the condition.
Okay, what the sharing is 2000.
Okay. So let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we better end. Okay, let us do the sharing. Akasata cha bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa jirang rakantu lokasasana itawata camehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyatina hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatina hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatina hotu sukita hontu nyatayo devo asatu kalena sasa sampati hito cha Vito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you all can pay respect mindfully the Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we shall end the whole Zoom session. Sadhu.